Hi, you're listening to Petri.com's MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I'm here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. Today's MJF Chat is going to be all about Project Cortex, which is Microsoft's knowledge management technology and services. My special guest today is Naomi Moneypenny, Director of Product Development for Project Cortex. Welcome, Naomi, and thank you so much for doing this chat.
Thank you so much, Mary Jo. It's a real pleasure to be on the podcast with you.
Thanks. I know. It's great to talk to you again. It's been a while. So let's just get right into the questions, because we got a lot of reader questions all about Cortex this week. And I'm going to throw in a few of my own questions, too.
Okay. So
I think it might be good to start with your elevator pitch. When somebody says to you, I need a brief definition of Project Cortex, what do you say?
So I really talk about Project Cortex as being a data magnet in the same way that you are a community magnet. You think about the way that you think about knowledge inside of your organization. So what we're doing with Project Cortex is to help you create a knowledge network inside of your company. And that's using the data that you already have inside of your organization. And then we want to think about the data that's coming into your business processes. How do we think about making that smarter as well? So really about collecting all of the information together, figuring out what is knowledge inside of your organization, and then making that widely accessible across your company.
Great. That's perfect. I have a reader question from Andrew Salter. He asked, is Cortex gunning for Confluence? And Confluence is from Atlassian, and it also is somewhat of a knowledge management type product as well.
I don't want to talk really about competitors. Sure. I think we're really trying to blaze a new trail here with what we're doing with Project Cortex. And so it's less really around looking at existing marketplace offerings and more about what can we do uniquely for you, given your content in Microsoft 365 and beyond. And what we can do uniquely is really thinking about how we collect together the knowledge that's important inside of your organization. How do we dynamically let you identify what that knowledge is? One of the great things about Project Cortex is it's looking through all of the information that you already have in your organization and figuring out from there the rich set of topics, the experts, and the resources that are available, and bringing all those together. And it's a wiki-like experience. So we can only go so far with AI, but we can take it to take the first cut essentially there, and then have folks come in, the subject matter experts, and put their own wiki-like touches on top of it as well.
Okay. That's good. Chris Walsh asked on Twitter, who is Project Cortex for? And I think he's asking there, like, what type of job function? And he also asked, are there any specific industries where you think it'll take off especially well?
That's a great question. So who's it for? I hope that it's for everybody. That is my goal, really, with what we're doing with Project Cortex. Is there a place where you don't need knowledge in your job, right? It's unlikely. So we really think about how you can have that applied basically across everywhere. I think really as we look at different roles inside of an organization, there's obviously just you as an end user, right? Experiences that you want every single day. Our goal is to really bring and empower those experiences into the applications that you use most. So we just want to surface knowledge, right? Wherever you are. We're not really worrying about where it came from inside of the organization, but you're really just being able to consume and use what's knowledge across your organization and really bring that into the end user flow of work. And then I think about, you know, there are other people inside of your organization that might help to curate the information that's important. So think about maybe it's the project manager. How can we make your life easier? So think about, you know, if you have a whole bunch of like project proposals that are coming in every single day and you want to do some automation around the extraction of what's important from those in terms of metadata. So we've given you some great tools as part of Project Cortex to be able to do that. So you can extract what's important in a business process and then be able to save that and then make that available more generally in the company as well. And so we think about how are we making you as that subject matter expert? How are we giving you great tools for that? And then we want to think about also how you send information around the organization. So right now, as a project manager or as a subject matter expert, you might put together a site, you know, a project site. You might talk about what your project does, and you want to be able to keep that up to date all the time. And so one of the great things we're doing with Project Cortex is enabling that happening, you know, enabling that knowledge mining to happen automatically and bringing those pieces together. So it makes your life a lot easier as well. And so, you know, the roles wise, it's, yeah, it's the end user, it's the user subject matter expert, or maybe you're running a project and being able to put all those resources together. And then, you know, there is an element here for folks that maybe have worked in knowledge management before and really thinking about how they're empowered to share information more generally across the company. And so we think about this not as a strict role, but really as a resource where oftentimes your job is about curating knowledge in some shape or form, whether it's the beginning of a project, the end of a project, maybe you're trying to do something across a whole community of practice or as a subject matter expert. And so we've got some new tools that help with that as well.
Mm. Are there any, do you think there'll be any particular industries that kind of gravitate towards it quicker than others?
I would say we're getting a lot of looking at sort of the preview customers that we have. We've had a lot of engineering companies who've come through, which is not surprising, I think. Folks who are working on very large scale projects, it's not surprising to see that. We've had a lot of uplift from healthcare as well, where again, the speed of knowledge transfer inside of the organization is very important and how we can do things to make processes more efficient as part of that. And then the other area is professional services, which I definitely see that. So if your business is information, if you're selling expertise, right, then you definitely want Project Cortex. And so we've definitely seen those areas. But I don't think, as I look at sort of the whole preview set of customers that we have, I don't think there's an industry that hasn't been represented. So we've seen everything from education all the way through to financial services, real estate, all kinds of areas.
Yeah, interesting. This is a question for me. Is Cortex actually built on top of SharePoint, or is it, or should I think of it more like an evolution of what are content services now in SharePoint? Like, I guess I'm curious, how tied is it to SharePoint and how much is it an evolution of SharePoint?
It's a great question. So I think it is in the evolution piece of it here. As one of my colleagues, Chris McNulty, always likes to say, you know, if this was a movie piece, then it would be sort of, you know, from the producers of SharePoint, right? And so it's a great line. So I love that. So it really is from that perspective. So we are building on all the capabilities that we have in Microsoft 365. And as you know, SharePoint is a core essence of that. You know, it's where all the content essentially gets stored for Microsoft 365 from a document perspective. And so we're really putting all those capabilities to use. And we're materializing a lot of what we're doing. So those wiki-like capabilities that I talked about, you know, if you go in there and you're editing a topic page, that topic page happens to live in SharePoint. It will display in lots of places across the suite, as many of our things do in Microsoft 365. But, you know, SharePoint's in essence from that perspective. But when we look at sort of the full gamut of everything that we're doing, we are really, you know, bringing this as a suite-wide capability in Microsoft 365 and then being able to have that exposed even further, of course, as part of that.
Okay. I should have asked this at the beginning, but I see some people referring to Project Cortex as if it's a new separate product, the way Teams was for Office 365. But that's not actually correct, right? Isn't the way to think about Cortex is as an underlying foundational service that kind of bubbles up in other things that you already have?
Yeah, so I would think of it as a new service inside of Microsoft 365. I think that's the right way to think about it. So okay. It's not, you know, so much as it's going to be an app and a destination. Yes, we are empowering all of those experiences in Microsoft 365, but it is its own set of capabilities and a rich new set of features that go along with that.
Okay. Can you explain to me the connection between Project Cortex and Microsoft Search? And for people listening who don't know what Microsoft Search is, this is the unified search experience that Microsoft's been building that's going to be common across Office, Bing, Edge, and Windows. So how does Cortex fit with Microsoft Search? And also, is Microsoft Search a requirement for Project Cortex?
Great questions. Yeah, so I love to talk about Microsoft Search. As you know, it was one of my areas that I worked after before. And indeed, on the Project Cortex team, we actually still look after the Microsoft Search and SharePoint and OneDrive experiences as well. So it's all within our remit. So these things are very much interconnected, and it's an important piece of what we're doing. So with Microsoft Search is really, you know, bringing that advanced capability across all of Microsoft 365 and beyond, and to really centralize that as a search service that works across all of your data. And so we're using elements of Microsoft Search and what we do with Cortex, because we're using it, for example, for security trimming. We're using it for some of the indexing of the content that's in there as well. And so it's definitely another one of those capabilities inside of Microsoft 365 that we're building on top of. We think it's a really important element that way. And what's really, you know, I'd say from a difference perspective is sort of what we're doing with Microsoft Search. We want that search box to be across everything inside of the suite, as you know, so Bing and SharePoint and OneDrive and Teams and Yammer and everywhere else, Outlook, everywhere that you are. We definitely want you to use Microsoft Search as part of that. And so we will surface up, for example, things like topic answers. So when we've got a Project Cortex topic, we're going to surface that up as part of Microsoft Search, and you'll be able to access that information the same way through APIs, et cetera, as well. But the new set of functionality that we have with Cortex is on top of everything that we're doing with Microsoft Search.
Okay. So will you be able to use Project Cortex if you are not using Microsoft Search? And the reason I'm asking that is I know some people have been a bit reticent to use it because I think because they don't quite understand the privacy implications. They're thinking, wait, Microsoft's going to look at all the data inside my company, and will everybody in my company see the same search results? Like, I don't think it's clear in many people's minds how that works.
Yeah, it's a great set of questions. So let's think about it from a Microsoft Search perspective. All of these capabilities we have in terms of intelligence and personalization are really driven from the Microsoft Graph. And the graph is always very highly, highly personalized to you. So we're processing trillions of signals essentially inside of the Microsoft Graph every day. And those signals are personalized to you in terms of the content and the people and the resources that you see there and all of the edges that we're processing essentially inside of the Microsoft Graph. So did you create, did you read an update, a document? Did you have a meeting with somebody? Did you get assigned a task? Did you log in from this PC? All those kinds of things. So we're looking at kind of all of that great intelligence inside of the graph and using that to help with the personalization. When you look at Microsoft Search, right, the search results that you are delivered are truly personalized for you. So you see things obviously permissioned and security checked, right? We're never going to show you content that you don't have access to. And so that's an important premise with Microsoft Search, right? You cannot go off and sort of see everything that you're not supposed to or anything else.
There. Right.
It's definitely built into the model. And then the graph signals are on top of that, and they're making that richer set of content for you. So the same thing that powers, you know, most recently used documents, for example, is the same thing that powers Microsoft Search as well. So that rich set of capabilities. So we are building on top of those things with Cortex. Is it a prerequisite? Well, we think Microsoft Search comes with Microsoft 365, right? It just ships as part of the suite. And so we think it's an important service for you to build on top of. It is the thing that helps with permissioning. And most folks are, you know, there's not a, I'm going to say this, there's not some easy way to say, hey, I'm just going to use another search mechanism, which is up to you if you choose to build your own set of search experiences. But we're not going to be able to say, hey, from a Project Cortex perspective, okay, go plug into that search set instead. You can do a bunch of things around extensibility, but fundamentally the indexing, everything else that we're doing is being driven by Microsoft Search by the graph.
Okay. That's good. You just preempted one of my questions. I was going to ask you about the graph. So the graph is kind of like at the heart of this whole thing, right? I mean, it's the centerpiece of what Microsoft Search is and what Cortex is and what a lot of the new services are from Microsoft.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So the Microsoft Graph, again, is that, you know, it's literally trillions of signals that we're processing. And those signals come from everything from your Azure Active Directory, right? How your organization is structured, what team you're in, all of that work, all of those collaboration systems, the richness that we have in there. It looks at devices. It looks at all of the activity that we have. So if you think about it as sort of kind of the raw materials, if you will, that we need to understand and process. And that signaling really helps from driving a personalization angle with everything that we do with the graph. And then, of course, from an external perspective, it's a rich set of APIs that people can consume to build their own applications on top of as well. And so that's definitely an important piece of what we need in order to process more things with Cortex. So I think fundamentally with this, if you're, you know, not to be too geeky, but what we're doing essentially with Cortex is, you know, if you think about existing nodes, if you will, inside of the graph, so you've got the node around, you know, here's a file, here's a person, right, here's a meeting, here's an object basically inside of the graph. What we're doing is dynamically creating a new type of node, which is topics and projects and skills, capabilities inside of your organization. And we're dynamically creating that and then a whole new set of signals that map around that as well.
Yeah, the skills one, I think, is something a lot of people kind of gloss over. You know, everybody talks about the contact card or the most recently used documents. But I remember I think it was at Ignite, you and maybe Chris McNulty also were talking about how LinkedIn Learning even could be integrated in here in terms of helping people build skills or reskill. And that's part of Cortex too, right?
Yeah. So if you think about knowledge really and what we're doing, right, there's the whole idea of how do I get up to speed faster, especially, you know, the economy that we're dealing with right now. How do I get up to speed faster if I change my job, if I change my role inside of an organization? There's a huge hidden cost there inside of a company of like just changing your role takes you, you know, some time to get up to speed as well. And so with that comes all of the pressure basically to say, hey, you know, these are the things that I've been working on and how do I help to expose that visibility inside of my company? And so there's kind of levels of skills, if you will. And so it's important to think about them in the right way. So we're not going to say something out of Project Cortex like, oh, you're awesome at project management or you're a Scrum leader or something like that, right? It's not that kind of skill that we're looking for. But we are looking for the skill that says, hey, Mary Jo, you worked on this particular project in this particular area. And can we help you to say, hey, I want to make that visible inside of my profile so that I can have it be available to everybody else in the company? And so prompting you around, you know, how we can help you to keep your profile up to date, how we can make your skill set more visible so that your expertise can be used across the organization is definitely an important component there.
Okay, that's great. Chris Walsh had a second question on Twitter. He wants to know, how is Cortex going to integrate into existing products? And he said, if users have to go to this and manually post, quote, knowledge, it's going to be a failure from day one because you need to be able to tag things in SharePoint, Teams, and such with a keyword. And I think that's what how that is going to work, right, with the managed metadata that you're building in?
Yeah, so there's lots of things there. So it's a great prompt, Chris. So I appreciate that question for sure. So yes, we too believe that if you have to go to one single place, it's definitely not going to be a great experience. So we want to make this available across what you're doing in Microsoft 365. And that's why it's really so important to embed these experiences into the things that you use every single day. So if I'm in Microsoft Word, or if I'm in Teams, or if I'm in Outlook, or if I'm in SharePoint, I should be able to see, you know, little highlights that come up, right? And if I don't know what an acronym is inside of my company, I should be able to easily highlight over that and be able to say, here's a topic card, and that topic card should just come up, and I should just be able to understand what's, you know, that topic is all about and projects and resources, etc., and then be able to click through into a topic page. And so that's one of the things that's really important to what we're doing with Cortex, and that's why it's this availability of being able to use this across the Microsoft 365 suite that we think is really fundamental to that experience. So we want to do those things. And then, yes, on the managed metadata side, there's a few things that we're doing, both from a service capability level to build on what we already have inside of the suite, and then additional capabilities that we're building on there as well, so that all of these things can come together.
Okay, great. Treb Gate, or Gate, I'm not sure how he pronounces his name, on Twitter asked about the AI that's in Project Cortex. He actually said, how many different types of AI are in Project Cortex? And I know I've seen you guys talk about things like AI Builder as a way to upload things like PDFs and files. And then I heard about, I think this is a Microsoft research project, codename Alexandria, which is about converting knowledge-based facts into unstructured text. So I know you've got lots of different parts. I mean, I don't know if you can quantify it, but could you go through some of the AI-specific pieces of it?
Sure. So that's a great question. And there's a lot of different tech. I'm not sure I've ever stopped to like count and say this is how many methods we have. But yes, if I start at the end user level, right, because it's easy for us to imagine there, there's a few things that are going on. So, for example, the highlighting technology that shows, you know, a topic within an email or within a Teams message or a SharePoint web page, that's a certain type of technology, right? It's actually a deep learning model that understands what Mary Jo is working on and thinks about, like, what kind of things do we want to highlight there on the page that is specific for you and to be able to bring that to you there. So that's a type of technology right there. And then as an end user, as I mentioned earlier, if you're, you know, a project manager or something inside of your organization, and you want to build your own custom model to help you process the information that's coming into your company. So things like a form, if I was going to do forms recognition on there, if I was coming in with a bunch of, you know, legal agreements or business contracts, and I want to be able to extract metadata from there as well. So there we have two sets of technologies there. So one is that connection over to the Microsoft Power Platform, which is called AI Builder. It's a service that's in preview right now, and we'll be GAing very soon themselves. And so they use some great technology there from our Azure folks. And so they're actually provide a great interface for that. And so we have that connection there. So you can build your own custom model to help you process a form and be able to extract that information. And then we're using a set of capabilities from the Azure team around understanding how to process documents and understand documents that are very unstructured. So it's like the complete opposite, if you will, for a forms template and those areas too. So we have those pieces. And then that unstructured content, we're using a number of different technologies there to help you with that processing. So combination of methods sort of on the end user side. If you go the sort of the level deeper, we're looking at things to really make it interesting from a technology perspective of using what technologies we think are the best for different areas. And so there's a number of methods within machine learning. So we can do things like probabilistic programming, which is what Alexandria is doing, essentially is looking for facts inside of lots of documents to figure out if the evidence of a topic actually exists. And so you can learn a little bit more about it. We had a session last November on this. So you can actually mine through the individual topics or the individual resources, I should say. So a piece of content, it can extract essentially facts across there, and then it helps to make correlations. And then on top of that, we are doing a bunch of deep learning mechanisms to actually look at these different models and how they can be used most effectively in there. And of course, all of that is built on top of what we have with the Microsoft Graph, which has its own set of machine learning tech inside of it as well, driving a lot. So there's just different layers that are all stack up together to help make it a great experience for what we need to do.
Okay, that's great. I didn't know if there were so many. I knew there were a few, but I'm like, okay, there's a lot.
we really are. It's one of the wonderful things about Project Cortex is that you basically get to go across the whole of Microsoft, right? You get to go to Microsoft Research, you get to go to Azure, you get to go to the Bing team, and there's all this amazing richness of technology in there. And really what we're trying to do with Project Cortex is synthesize a lot of those so that it makes it really simple and really easy from an end user perspective. But behind the scenes, there is a huge amount of technology that's actually getting used to process all of this information and to use it for what it's really great at. And not just, one thing. There's no silver bullet, as you know, in machine learning. And it's really about how do I put combinations of all of these models to work to be able to run it at the kind of scale that Microsoft needs to do for its customers.
Okay, great. Let's talk about timelines. This is always something everybody wants to know. When can I get all this stuff? And I saw that recently you've been doing these Project Cortex office hours, and you shared that there's going to be a whole rich set of APIs coming through the Microsoft Graph that you're going to talk about at Build. So there's one data point, I guess. But where else are we? Where are we on the roadmap? And is Microsoft still going to release Cortex by mid-2020, or has that been pushed back a bit?
No, we're still saying mid-2020 for the whole release there. I don't know the specific dates. Obviously, we've had things moving around. So, the whole COVID situation in the world that we have to be reflective and reactive to. And so we're making sure that we feel really prepped around that. But yes, our team is very much on track for the same delivery dates that we talked about at Ignite.
Wow, that's impressive, actually, because a lot of things have been getting pushed back, understandably. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to be reflective. We're also making sure that our customers are in a great place before we push out a whole bunch of new capabilities as well. So that's the other piece of we're listening to the demand, we're listening to the signals basically out there, working with all of our great teams and our field as well to understand that. It's when's the right time to do this?
So right now you're in private preview. Will there be a public preview and then a GA, or are you just going to go from private preview to GA?
Yeah, I think we're going to go from private preview to GA because the timelines are lining up to be that way. And we also want folks to really opt in and have a great experience as part of the private preview. So we are expanding, as we mentioned on the office hours, we're expanding out our private preview as well very soon. And so we'll have more and more customers that are available as part of that. And then when the technology is ready and we feel that the market timing is all good, that's when we will go to GA.
Okay. I can't forget this question, and I know it's very specific, but Patrick Smits is asking, when will you be supporting other languages beyond English? He asked specifically about Dutch, and he said, we want to sell this to our customers, but we can't if it's English only.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we got a lot of push on this as well. So I totally recognize the push as well. So especially since somebody like me, where English is not my first language. So the the sort of the area really that we're doing with V1. So the V1 of Cortex is definitely English only. And I apologize for that, but there's also a limitation on what we can do with all of this machine learning technology that's being used behind the scenes. And so most of the models in the world that exist for machine learning across many companies, not just ours, have been trained on English only data. And that's just the way it yeah. is. That we keep expanding, obviously, on those things too. So we are looking at all of our colleagues, both in the Azure space and the Power Platform space. We're looking at other models that we're using as part of the world to help with understanding when their timelines will be there. Our goal, of course, is to support all of the languages that Office supports or Microsoft 365 supports. So that is absolutely our goal. We are working on that very hard, but we have to get all of these different technologies in the right place before we can say, yes, this is available now in Dutch or wherever. And so you can expect, obviously, more and more languages over time, but the V1 definitely is English only.
Okay. We are out of time, Naomi, but I have to ask you now, what is your native language? I didn't know English wasn't your native language.
Yeah, no, I have a couple. So I actually have a French mother, so she made sure that I spoke French first. Okay. And then I spoke some Afrikaans after that. It's a funny thing. So I definitely, it's been just really a lurch journey in my life too. And I make some major English mistakes sometimes too.
The technical content of the things I know you cover, I think it's amazing English is not your first language. So
it's all good.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it and very interesting. I'm super interested in Cortex, so I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I really appreciate the time to talk to you as well, Mary Jo, and to share this with your listeners, because I am so pumped about what we're doing with Project
Nice.
Cortex. I think it will make such a big difference to folks. I think, you know, knowledge is just something inherently you want shared across your organization. And then being able to have some of these great tools and techniques available for it, I think will really make a big difference in any economy, but even especially in this one, for sure.
Great. And for everyone else listening to this podcast right now, all you MJF chat readers and listeners, I'll be posting more information soon on Petri about who my next guest is going to be. Once you see that, you can submit questions on Twitter directly for that guest. In the meantime, if you know of anyone else or even yourself who might make a good guest for one of these chats, please do not hesitate to drop me a note. All my contact information is available on petri.com. Thank you.